Well, I'm glad to be here back at Cornerstone SF. Really, I love the ministry here. Love what God is doing in you and through you. Such a sweet spirit here. Every time I come, whenever I'm in town, I attend. And really, it's a joy to be a part of this ministry and to share the word with you today. The title of our message today is When God Calls Your Name from Exodus chapter 3. And what we're doing today is we're wrapping up the Explore God series. I love this series because there's really nothing more significant in life than exploring God. It's not natural, by the way. It's not natural to explore God. Scripture teaches that the opposite is natural. By nature, we are born and in sin did my mother conceive me, says David. And by nature, we are going away from God. We are not seeking him. We are walking away from him. Put another way, we are not exploring him. We are ignoring him. Really, at the end of the day, there are two types of people. There are really those who explore God and those who ignore God. And Romans 3:10, for example, 3:10 and 11 says, let me just read it. It says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So another way we could say that is no one explores God, no one seeks God, no one is looking to find God. They are, on the contrary, ignoring him, going their own way. So I love this series because it really centers us in on what is at the center of the Father's heart, that we would turn around, that our life, which by nature is going away from God, would turn around and be coming toward him, seeking him, looking for him, exploring him. Love this series. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what we're talking about, right? So scripture is saying that when we explore him, that he reaches out and pulls us in even closer. That's really at the end of the day what we're looking for here. This isn't an academic exercise. We're not exploring God so that we can get more head knowledge, we can know more stuff. We're exploring God so that we can grow closer to him in intimacy, that we would know him and his will for our lives, and that we might do his will here on earth, that we might live for him. That's what this series is all about. And I hope that's why you're here. I hope you're not here just because it's a habit, it's what you do, get your check mark. I hope you're not just here for the worship. Although I would come just for the worship because I love the worship, both at the live service and in the online service. It's wonderful worship here at Cornerstone. But I hope you're here to really explore God and to seek his will for your life. That's what we're here about. Now, we're concluding today by wrapping up the series and just to go through it briefly, and I really puzzled on how to maybe do this. I thought maybe what I would do is summarize each of the lessons that we've been through, but that's way too much for us to try to accomplish here, so I'm not going to do that. But let me just mention where we've been. We started off, Pastor Terry led us through the twin parables of the pearl of the hidden treasure and then the pearl of great price, and really kind of set the stage with those messages. And then went to Ecclesiastes, is there purpose in life? And what a great reminder that was in terms of God's calling on our life. And then we looked at, is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really God? Is the Bible reliable? And then last week we wrapped up the seven-part series with, can I know God personally? And I would say that's really sort of the crescendo, the you know, it sort of funnels down into this fundamental question of, can I know God personally? And hopefully what you're understanding is not only can we know God personally, but that there's nothing more important in life than that we do so. That we would come into genuine, authentic, not just I go to church, but a genuine, authentic, I love you, Lord, I love you, Jesus, I live my life with you, through you, for you, relationship. That's what we're talking about. So yes, there is purpose to life. Yes, there is a God. Yes, we can know him personally, absolutely. So now, when God calls your name, Exodus chapter 3, let's talk about what God wants to do with your life, because that's what scripture is all about. Scripture is all about God reaching down and touching and using and working through and partnering with ordinary people to do his will in the world. And what a beautiful story it is. So many stories throughout Scripture of God working through the lives of people. Hebrews chapter 11, as you probably know, the Hall of Faith, all the great people of Scripture who did amazing things, not because they were great, but because God did great things through them. That's really a theme of Scripture, is ordinary people. And I believe, and I honestly just believe that God wants to do great things through you. And if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to see that. You're sort of like, I'm kind of just me. I mean, what could I do? But I believe that God wants to do great things in you and through you to accomplish his purposes of redemption on the earth. And I remember as a college student, Pastor Terry and I were both involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship over at San Francisco State. And I remember as a college student actually going out to the InterVarsity Missions Conference in Urbana, Illinois. And I remember hearing Luis Palau, the great evangelist who went home to be with the Lord, what, maybe a year or two ago now. And Luis Palau at that missions conference said something I've never forgotten. And I thank God that he's allowed me to retain things that are so deep and meaningful. And I remember him saying this when I was a young college student. A holy person is a mighty weapon in the hands of God. In other words, God is looking for people who are willing to walk with him to do his work. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth in order that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I love the imagery of God kind of like this, kind of searching. Where are they? We could say it this way, where are the people who are exploring God? Where are the people who are looking for me? Where are the people who have a heart to be with me, to be near to me? I'm looking for those people because I want to support them. I want to equip them with my Holy Spirit. I want to have an intimate relationship with them, as Jesus clearly points out in the Upper Room Discourse. And so what we're going to see today is that when you explore God and respond to his call, he can do incredible things through you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I absolutely do. So let's jump in. Let's explore God as he works in the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, let me read the first six verses of the text where it says, Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Those are the first six verses of Exodus chapter 3. We'll start right there. And notice when we start to look at the life of Moses, we find him where in verse 1? We find him out in the middle of the wilderness. What's that all about? It says he was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. What's he doing there? How did Moses end up in the wilderness? Well, let's go back and get a little context from chapter 2, verse 11. One day when Moses had grown up, remember he'd grown up in the palace of Pharaoh in Egypt. Chapter 2 is taking us back there. So he's in the palace now. One day, verse 11, chapter 2, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens. And when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people, he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. That's probably going to go really well. No one will ever know. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. And that's where we find him in 3:1. So Moses has fled Egypt as a fugitive, running for his life. He's wanted for murder. There's wanted posters out for him. And so he has literally run away as a fugitive, and he's gone out into the wilderness to a place called Midian. Now, if you ever wanted to know where the middle of nowhere was, it's a place called Midian. It's out in the desert, in the wilderness. And that's where we find Moses, sitting in the dirt, taking care of a bunch of sheep. And scripture tells us he's 40 years old at this point. Think about this for a minute. Moses, pretty significant figure in scripture and in history. And at 40 years old, what's going on in his life? Nothing. Not only is nothing, but he is a complete failure. He has nothing. He lives with his father-in-law. He serves his father-in-law, feeding his sheep and taking care of his sheep. He's doing nothing with his life. And this is really hard to imagine because what we know about Moses, but look at him at age 40 and where he is stuck in the dirt. He's stuck in the mud. And I just wonder, if you've ever been in a place in your life like that. I wonder if you've ever been at a place in your life where you've said, you know what, I don't understand what has happened to me. This isn't where I wanted to be. This isn't what I wanted my life to be like. I had no idea that here I am in the middle of my life doing nothing, going nowhere. It's not at all the way I envisioned my life being. I'm so frustrated. I'm so confused. I don't know why I lost my job. I don't know why I lost my house. I don't know why I lost my family. I don't know why I lost I don't know why this has happened to me. That happened to Moses. And I would not be surprised if something like that has happened to you. I think a lot of us go through very hard times in our lives where it's hard to understand. And it's hard to make sense of what's going on. And if you're in a difficult place right now in your life, what I want you to understand is that God knows where you're at. He sees what's going on in your life. And what we're going to see in this passage is that God very much knows what's going on with Moses. And it sure doesn't seem like much is going on, but God has a plan. And what's powerful to see is what's happening to him in this place. Sometimes a wilderness experience like this is necessary. Sometimes God will allow us to get ourselves into a difficult situation in order that he might strip away the dross, that he might use a little sandpaper on us to smooth us out and to purify us and to prepare us for something greater that he has for us up in the future. Now, at this point in Moses' life, of course, he has no idea. He has no idea of what's up ahead for him. Right now, he's just doing nothing. And he's in the wilderness, he's sitting around feeding sheep, and now watch this. How long does Moses sit in the wilderness feeding sheep? Acts chapter 7, Stephen, in recounting this story, gives us more details. We can also see it in Exodus 7:7. But Moses enters the wilderness at age 40. And when we approach him here in 3:1 of Exodus, it's 40 years later. Moses has been sitting in the wilderness, taking care of sheep, spinning his wheels, going nowhere with his life, accomplishing zero for 40 years. Now, I don't know about you. 1 year of that, 1 year of lostness, purposelessness, confusion, fugitiveness, hiding for my life. Like, I can't even imagine that. Like, if that was a year long, 40 years. Wow. So it's in that context then of verse 1 that we see verse 4. Let's see what happens in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place which you're standing is holy ground." Now, I don't know about you, but it just seems a little bit funny to me that God knows his name, Moses, that the transcendent, eternal creator of the universe of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, knows Moses' name. But of course he knows Moses' name. He made Moses. God is both transcendent and immanent, meaning he is above all and over all, creator of all, and yet he is extremely personal and wants to have an extremely personal, intimate relationship with us. Of course he knows Moses' name, and he knows your name. He knows where Moses is, and he knows where to find him, and he knows what he needs, and God knows your name, and he knows where to find you, and he knows what he needs to do in you so that he can do his work through you. The fact is that God can do whatever he pleases with whomever he chooses, and in this case, he chooses Moses. He works through people, ordinary people, loser people like Moses, to accomplish his work. And sometimes I might feel like a loser, like it's not happening the way I want it to happen. But God is still at work in my life. And notice he comes down to Moses. This is the Christian faith understanding here in Exodus, in the Older Testament. We see that religion is, I'm going to try to do a bunch of stuff to make my way up to God, but biblical faith is God coming down to us and leading us into a relationship with himself. Notice he calls out to Moses. Moses doesn't call out to him. And that's the way it works. Coming into personal, intimate relationship with the Lord is a matter of us responding to his call. He calls and we respond. None of us wakes up and says, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to enter into a personal relationship with my Lord. No, he calls us into relationship and we respond to that. Look at the way Jesus says it in John chapter 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You can't come to the Lord unless he calls you, and he's calling you now. The fact that you are hearing the word of God proclaimed is his calling you today. He's calling out to you. And the only way we get there is to respond to him in faith. Let me just pause right here. If you've never responded to God's call on your life, can I just say you don't have a lot of time? You know, last time I was here, we were in the afterlife series, and we were talking about how brief life is. You are here, and you're gone. We are only here for a moment, and the only thing that matters in this brief moment of life is that we enter into relationship with the transcendent, eternal God of the universe, that we come into relationship with him. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He's calling you into that relationship. And he calls us for his purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:15, I love this where we read, "He died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." The Lord gave up his life that we might be able to enter into relationship with him and then live our lives for him. It's not a matter of doing what I want to do. It's a matter of doing what God wants to do. It's why we explore God, to listen to him, to respond to him, to invest ourselves in his will and his purposes. So now this is amazing because God calls out to Moses, and look at what happens. First of all, at the end of chapter 2, we read this: "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Wow. You know, Alice took us through the message, you know, why does God allow suffering? And what a powerful message that was. I think, Alice, I will never complain about anything again in my life. You have a powerful testimony. The people are suffering. God sees it. He knows. He knows exactly what is happening to his people. But he's got a plan. And that's what we're going to see in this next section. Look what happens in verse 7 of chapter 3. "The Lord said to Moses now, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings.'" Watch this, verse 8. "And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And so in verse 7 and 8, God says to Moses, "I'm going to come down and I'm going to save my people." Whoa, yay God, yay God. God is going to save his people. And I love this. Look at verse 10, look how he's going to do it. Well, I'll read 9 too because I skipped that. Verse 9, "And now behold, the cry of my people, the people of Israel, has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppression." Here it is, verse 10, because he says in verse 8, "I'm coming down." Verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Wait, what? I love this. It says, God says, "I will come down and save my people. So I'm sending you to do it." Wow. Wow, are you kidding me? The way God does his work in the world is through ordinary people, in this case, someone sitting in the dirt doing nothing with his life. God is going to reach down and take him and work through him to accomplish his purposes. Wow. And how big is this task, by the way? How huge is the task that God is asking him to do? It's not possible. This is not happening. This can't happen. Me, little Moses, can't do this. It's too big of a job. And when you think about the task that God is giving him, compare with what Moses is doing with his life, with what God wants to do with his life. It's incredible. It's incredible. God's plans for us are always going to be and necessarily greater than our plans for ourselves. And did you notice this? How old is Moses? In Exodus 7:7 and also in Acts chapter 7, we learn that Moses, as we said, he's been there for 40 years, meaning he got there when he was 40. He's been there for, he's 80 years old. Moses is 80 years old. And here's what blows me away. At 80 years old, God comes to him and says, "Here's what I want you to do." Wow. Wow. There is nothing greater than you can do than what God has for you. Now, look at Moses' response, because this is what I'm alluding to. He kind of responds the way I would respond, like verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the children of... Are you kidding me? Who, me? I'm a nobody. How are you possibly going to do this through me? And I just wonder if you aren't a little bit like Moses, if you aren't a little bit like me. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I have much to give. But God is calling me to do something. And I need to be leaning into that, listening to him, responding to him. And in 4:18, notice, he does it. In 4:18, it says, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please, let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. So he goes and he tells his father-in-law, look, this might seem crazy, but I'm going back to Egypt. Watch this, verse 19. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. Wow, here's what blows me away about this. After Moses agrees to go back to the place that he fled for fear of his life, after he agrees to do that and tells his father-in-law he's leaving, then God says, oh, and by the way, Moses, I've cleared the way for you. The people that were after you, they're gone now. They're gone now. God knows what he's doing. God has huge plans for us. There is nothing I can do with my life that is greater than what God has planned for me to do with my life. But I need to be in the Word, exploring God day by day. And here's the temptation. Here's what can happen if we're not careful. What can happen is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is when I explore God. The rest of the week, I'm ignoring God. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to explore God once a week for like an hour. I want to live a life exploring God. I want to live a life leaning in, walking with him day by day. Every day I want to be in the Word. Speak to me, Lord. What is it that you have for me to do today? And so as you go on, as the story goes on, we've got to move along here, but let me get to just Exodus here. I've got it here. Exodus 15, look what happens. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang the song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. After Moses delivers the people out of Egypt, they get to the other side, and the Egyptians have drowned. The Lord did it, and they're able to celebrate their freedom that God did through Moses, this incredible, amazing work, and now they are able to celebrate it. He goes and he does what really is impossible to do. It wasn't possible. It wasn't possible for one guy sitting in the dirt to be able to go and free the people. He couldn't do it. And the only way he was able to do it, back in our text, verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you, that you have brought the people out of Egypt. So what God is saying is, Moses, I'm coming down to free my people. You're the instrument that's going to make it happen, but you're not going to do it on your own. In fact, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. No, I'm going to be with you. And that's God's word to us. He calls us to do his work in this world, reaching out to the world around us to bring people into relationship with himself. He doesn't expect us to do that on our own. He's going to do it with us and through us. God did an incredible thing. Well, let me just wrap up by looking at Joshua chapter 5, because at the end of this story, at the end of Moses' life, he then hands the baton off to Joshua. And look at what happens to Joshua in Joshua 5, 13 and through 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing on is holy. And Joshua did so. So now, as Moses hands the baton to Joshua, and Joshua will now lead the people across the Jordan into the promised land to settle the nation, the Lord comes to Joshua in similar fashion and is going to call Joshua now into this work to follow the work of Moses. And what I want you to come away from this series with today as we wrap up here and looking at what happens with Joshua are these words of Joshua, and these are the words that I want us to be thinking about and considering and even praying in this coming week. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? Those are the words that I want to encourage you to pray. They're the words that I want to pray. I want to come before the Lord, not just exploring him to know stuff about him, but to know him in an intimate way. And I want to come to him day by day saying with Joshua, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? What do you have for me, Lord? I know it might seem crazy, whatever it is, but bring it because I'm willing to do it. God always has bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves. Moses saved the nation. Joshua settled the nation. They were ordinary people just like you and me. My hope is that this Explore God series would not just be interesting, but that it would be life transforming. My prayer is that you would be listening and responding when God calls your name. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together to be in your word. Help us to be in your word with ears wide open and hearts prepared to hear what it is you're calling us to do, that we might walk with you hand in hand to accomplish your purposes in this world, that we might be one with you, growing in you in intimacy day by day, I pray. I commit to you these dear saints in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you call my name, I wanna know it's you. I wanna know it's you. Help me recognize it. I wanna know it's you. I wanna know it's you. 'Cause silence the noise. Your voice, your words, your truth speak directly to me. 'Cause I'm listening. I just want to know your heart. I just want to know your heart. I just want to know your heart. Hesitate, make it loud and clear, make it loud and clear. Do whatever it takes to let me know you're here, to let me know you're here.
Ah, how good is that? Thank you, Lord, for the journey we've made together, exploring God. And I pray that as we move forward into what we commonly call the holidays, the holy days, there'll be a thankfulness of heart, a softness of heart that welcomes you in, Savior who has come, and then ultimately into the gift of a new year. But Lord, we don't want to run past what we've just shared. We ask that you would be the reminders of the things that we're supposed to really honor in our heart. So we ask for your goodness and your grace. And I pray for all of you that you would be blessed, that you would be kept, you would know how loved you are in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that we may follow him together all the days of our lives. That's my prayer for all of us in Jesus' name.